Our first scripture reading for today is James chapter 1, verses 17 through 27, that can be found on page 229 in your regular print Bible and in your large print Bible on page 328. James 1, verses 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If any think they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Amen.
The second scripture reading of today is Mark 7, verses 1 through 8, page 42 or 58 in the large print. Now, when the Pharisees and some of the scribes who had come from Jerusalem gathered around him, they noticed that some of the disciples were eating with defiled hands, that is, without washing them. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they thoroughly wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders, and they do not eat anything from the market unless they wash it. And there are also many other traditions they observe, the washing of cups, pots, and bronze kettles. So the Pharisees and the scribes asked him, "Why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders, but eat with defiled hands?" He said to them, "Isaiah prophesies rightly about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines. You abandon the commandment of the God and hold to human tradition.'" That ends our second scripture of the day. Amen.
So Mark 7, 1 through 8. At almost the halfway point of the Gospel of Mark, we see Jesus gaining popularity in the area. In the last half of the chapter before this, chapter 6, Jesus had done a number of noteworthy things that we didn't read about today, but things that we know about. He fed the crowd of 5,000, he walked on water, and he, with the help of his disciples, healed as many sick and injured people as they could. In fact, so many that people were laying their loved ones out on the street so that when they would walk by, their loved ones would be healed. It was after doing all of this when the Pharisees saw them sitting down to eat. So they asked Jesus, "Well, why do your disciples not live according to the tradition of the elders and eat with defiled hands?" Now, the tradition of the elders, as was mentioned in the passage that the Pharisees refer to, is to wash your hands before you eat. This is important for us today, too, and we've heard a lot about washing our hands lately, but it's not for the same reason. These people in Israel 2,000 years ago did not know about germs and how sicknesses were spread. So the act of washing their hands was a sign of achieving spiritual cleanliness. So in a way, by saying their hands were defiled, they weren't, I guess, holy enough to be used to eat. So Jesus knew what the Pharisees were talking about when asking this question. He knew the tradition of the elders, but decided to do and respond differently. Probably because, first, well, if anything was going to make them spiritually unclean, it was by being around the people that they were just around, those that needed healing, those that were sick, those that were hurt. And after all of that healing, nothing different had happened with Jesus and the disciples. They were still the same people as before. So if anything was going to make them unclean, it was going to be that. And that didn't make them unclean. And secondly, more importantly, after doing all of this work, all of these miracles, all of these healings, knowing that more work was probably coming farther down the road as they traveled, Jesus knew that he and the disciples just needed to stop and rest and eat. They just needed a quick bite before they hit the road again. You know those Snickers commercials that say, "Grab a Snickers, why? Because you're not you when you're hungry." And at first they're in some sort of form, like a cranky Betty White kind of person. But then they eat it and they change back to their normal selves and they just feel better after not being hungry anymore. I'm sure Jesus knew this about his disciples long before Snickers were ever around. So this passage, in light of today being the prayer day of education, had me thinking about the relationship between knowledge and wisdom, something that we all hope is developed in all students and all learners. See, if Jesus had only used knowledge in this situation, then he would have known what the hand-washing rule was, and he probably would have just gone out of their way to just do it. And this whole story wouldn't be a story because Jesus and the disciples followed the rules, the end. It really wouldn't be worth writing about. But the wisdom of Jesus took this a lot further. He was able to draw on his own experiences of healing people to know that that didn't make them unclean. And he drew on his experience with the disciples, or just people in general, to know that people work and behave better when they're well fed. Wisdom also gave him the presence of mind to respond to the Pharisees and use this as a teaching moment about when not to enforce the rules and about what will truly make them clean and unclean. So practical wisdom in there along with teaching wisdom. Knowledge and wisdom, both are important. Both actually seem to be more important now more than ever in this realm or this era of misinformation and fake news, when this concept of truth has been challenged from a whole bunch of different angles. Both are gifts from the Holy Spirit, gifts that we were all created to have. Both knowledge and wisdom are necessary, but there's a difference. Now, with knowledge and wisdom being connected as they are, other people may draw the line differently as to where knowledge stops and wisdom begins and vice versa. But for today, I'll just say that knowledge is a recollection of facts based on observation. Whether that observation be in a classroom setting or from a book or observation just from experience in life. Wisdom, then, is how we use that knowledge. And there's a couple different aspects to that, many of which are described in sayings. Because what says wisdom better than a good quote? I'm sure we all have some practical wisdom stored away from other people. Maybe good wisdom, maybe funny, or anywhere in between. But here's one of those quotes describing knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge is knowing what to say. Wisdom is knowing when to say it, or if it should be said at all. Using knowledge, wisdom can influence our timing and our decision making. We know that many decisions are not cut and dry, and rarely do we have all of the information. So we use what we have, as far as the information that we do know. We use how we feel. And we use, as Christians, what we think will bring us and others closer to Christ. And we use all of that together in this collective wisdom to make the best decision that we can. And when it comes to timing, wisdom can also tell us which wisdom to use. For example, when it comes to deciding which new health habits that you're going to take on, I wonder which adage would apply. You're never too old to learn, or you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Which one are you going to choose? It might help for you to discern, well, here are the things I can actually change and help myself with, but then here are the things that are just never going to change. I should accept that and try some other things instead. Or maybe when you're looking for help to do one thing or another, you could say, well, many hands make light work, or you could say, too many cooks spoil the broth, or soup, or whatever you say in that saying. Wisdom can help you decide, well, in which case is going to be better for me in this moment. Wisdom can also help us learn from experience. Here's another quote. Maybe some of you are familiar with this. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing that a tomato doesn't go in a fruit salad. While we can gain knowledge from experience, wisdom will help us apply it and even glean more wisdom from experiences that we didn't even know were teachable moments in our lives. Wisdom also helps us live with humility and wrestle with big questions that go beyond knowledge. The great Greek thinker Socrates was credited with saying, "The only true wisdom is knowing you know nothing." We don't all have the same knowledge base. We don't all have the same experiences. There are questions that knowledge can't answer, and there can be truth found in multiple answers. This is why there's a whole genre of writing in the Bible itself wrestling with wisdom, wisdom writings, that requires so much more time to talk about that we don't have this morning. But Ecclesiastes and Job, Proverbs and the Psalms, wrestle with really big and important questions. Questions like, why do bad things happen to good people? Questions that can't be answered with knowledge, but perhaps can be addressed with experiences and stories and prayer. So wisdom acknowledges that there are going to be some times where we don't have answers. There are going to be times where we have multiple answers. But at the end, wisdom acknowledges that there is more wisdom out there to be had, that we should never stop trying to be wise or to gain wisdom. So there's a lot there, a lot of facets to wisdom. But to simply summarize, knowledge is what we have observed or what we've been taught. Wisdom is what we do with it. Wisdom is translating knowledge into some kind of action. And this brings a whole new meaning to a quote that was in our James reading earlier, the one that's actually on our bulletin cover for today. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Don't just stop at knowledge. Apply wisdom, acquire it, pray for it, because when it comes to our faith, we need it. So for example, we can't just stop at knowing for God so loved the world. I mean, we've known that God has the whole world in his hands since, you know, we were like this big, right? If God loves you and me and everyone else and plants and animals and the planet, then it's not enough to just stop at knowing that. We need this to influence our decision making. This needs to impact our timing, or rather our urgency in how we react. Knowing this needs to humble us enough to know that this isn't just about us. We are a small part of God's beloved. And God's beloved needs to know that they are indeed God's beloved. And knowing all of that should lead us to life-giving and loving action in our daily lives. Service is a form of wisdom, putting God's love, our knowledge of God's love, into action. Today, we can't just stop with knowing that Jesus analyzes the appropriateness of rules and then follows them or not when conversing with the Pharisees. No, we need to take that and go a step further and see which rules and systems apply or not apply in our jobs, in our homes, in our churches, in our society, to see which rules truly work and which ones need changing because they're outdated, or they're misinformed, or they're inhibiting others in one way or another. That's wisdom. And as we focused on last week, we can't just stop knowing about the armor of God. We can't stop knowing that we are protected by God. We've been given that armor, we've been given that protection for a reason, right? Now that we know that we have been protected, that we are protected, we use wisdom to translate that into actions. We are ready to be helpers and supporters, willing to step into the pain and the struggles of others to love them as they need it. So knowledge of good news, knowledge of the love of Christ, knowledge of the reassuring promises of God is one thing. And may we always have that knowledge with us. And may we always study Scripture and be in fellowship with one another so that we may know more about all that. But may we also have the wisdom to take all the words that we hear about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit, about the church and Christianity, may we take those words and not merely hear them, but live them out. Let them impact our lives. Make them real in the world today. So may God bless us with wisdom to be doers of the word each and every day. As we look to knowledge, as we look to wisdom, as we look to discerning and making decisions and in the life that which unfolds before us, we sing about that now as our closing hymn. So I'd invite you to take out the other spiral-bound songbook as we sing together Visions of Glory, number 81, and as you turn to that page, I would invite you to please stand as we sing together. Companions in Christ, may you be blessed with the knowledge of the love, the grace, the faithfulness and the promises of the Creator, Savior, and Sustainer. And may wisdom follow that, so that we might be doers in light of what we know, so that the good news of the love of Christ that we know will be a reality for us all. So go in peace to love and serve in wisdom in the name of our Lord. Amen.